This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More at-home testing kits on the horizon. For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Uhlern for David Brancaccio. Finding a home COVID test has been tough over the past couple of weeks for a lot of folks, myself included. Well, the Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency use authorization for new at-home COVID test kits made by two different companies, Siemens and Roche. The test should be available starting next month, just when the Biden administration promises to buy half a billion at-home test kits to distribute for free. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The FDA authorized the Siemens test yesterday and the Roche one last week. Both companies say they can manufacture tens of thousands of tests each month. Roche added that the FDA prioritized approval of its test because of the company's ability to deliver large quantities. That's surely welcome news for many Americans who are having trouble finding test kits for purchase. Major retail pharmacies have even started rationing the number of tests each customer can purchase because of a lack of supply. Both the Roche and Siemens tests are nasal swab rapid antigen tests. Roche says its version has a relative sensitivity of 95%. Siemens is 87%. The FDA has found that rapid antigen tests may be less sensitive to the Omicron variant, but can still detect it. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down just a tick this morning, less than a tenth of a percent. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up slightly between 1 and 2/10 of a percent, with the Dow future up 48 points. And we got word yesterday that the Westminster Kennel Club has decided to postpone its dog show due to the ongoing COVID-19 surge in New York City. Feels like we just can't catch a break. This year's holiday travel season is almost over, but not without some challenges. Chief among them, thousands of flight cancellations. Bad weather is behind some of this, but there have also been pandemic-related staff shortages among flight crews. Flight attendants play a critical role in everyday flight, especially during the pandemic. They interface with passengers, make sure that masks are staying on, and enforce social distancing rules when possible. To hear more on what flight attendants are up against, I'm joined by Sarah Nelson. She's International President of the Association of Flight Attendants, which represents about 50,000 folks across 17 airlines. Ms. Nelson, good morning.
Good morning.
In terms of current flight conditions and the workplace more generally, I'm curious what you're hearing from your members. How are things going?
Well, here's what I know. Flight attendants have been on the front lines of this pandemic for 2 years now. They're worn out. And over the past year, we've had full planes with combative passengers, sometimes violence, and constant bickering over the safety regulations that we're trying to enforce to keep everyone safe. I testified before Congress actually 3 times in the last 3 months saying that flight attendants are saying, make it stop. What it has done is it has caused people to take pause on picking up additional time. And even before this holiday, we were seeing shortages in staffing, not because we had fewer flight attendants. In fact, there's more flight attendants now than there were pre-pandemic if compared with flight hours that the airlines are operating. The difference is that pre-pandemic, people were regularly picking up voluntary overtime. And that is just not happening now for two different reasons. One, they're very concerned about coming to work. And then people are getting sick, and they're using that sick leave.
Does it just vary from airline to airline in terms of attendants having the power to decline working on a flight because they feel unsafe or because they're, like you said, they're feeling sick? I mean, what sort of options do your members have?
What we negotiated with the airlines is to not move forward with any disciplinary process because people are calling sick during this time, which is very important so that that's not a deterrent for people to actually use that when they're sick and keep everyone else safe, and also to cover that sick time so that it's not coming out of their personal bank. And then also when we had the schedule meltdowns, when the airlines were planning based on pre-pandemic overtime hours, and we saw some of those meltdowns in the late summer and early fall, that did give us some bargaining power, and we negotiated incentives for over this holiday. So some flight attendants are making 300% of this holiday. But I have to tell you, you know, there's only so far that you can stretch people and you can provide those incentives, but they're really worn out.
You talked about testifying before Congress, asking for better pay, for safer standards. Have you gotten what you need?
I do want to lift up FAA Administrator Steve Dixon here, who put in place a zero tolerance policy to any disruptive behavior. He's also been working with the TSA and pulling all of the airports and the airlines together to put in place good communications. And we have had improvements. So all of that has been helpful. Where the lawmakers could help is working on the issue of a banned passenger list and having the government coordinate that between the airlines, because if someone is acting out somewhere, they should lose the freedom of flight as well, at least for a period of time. And there needs to be a due process with that, so it needs to be carefully considered. But this is another deterrent that we have in our hands that we should be using.
Should there be a vaccine mandate for passengers?
Look, we support this, at least in theory, because we have got to get everyone vaccinated. We are practical about it, though, because in this country, we have not done a good job of tracking vaccination. And so implementing this in the operation and making sure that it wouldn't just fall to the onus of the airlines who are ill-equipped to deal with it or the frontline workers who are there, but that it is a coordination with government and we have a seamless way to check that vaccination status, then it could work.
Sarah Nelson is International President of the Association of Flight Attendants. Thank you so much for doing this and have a happy new year.
Thank you. Happy new year to you.
Ms. Nelson and I spoke for a while more generally about labor movements in this country, the strikes we've seen in companies like Kellogg's and John Deere, and union efforts at Amazon. That's going to be on our website, marketplace.org, in just a bit. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.